criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
A man opens a door as two women push strollers.
I'm telling you, one day Connor was the sweetest kid I've ever known. The next day, Noel had become an art form.
He's discovering his inner sense of self.
Yeah, more like his inner monster. Hey, you just wait until Maggie plants her feet in the middle of Toys R Us and screams bloody murder.
They stop.
I'm serious, Amy. Kids don't need independence. They need structure and discipline. It makes them feel safe.
Amy's friend's smile fades.
God. Amy?
Amy's holding her neck.
Amy?
She runs toward the man who opened the rolling door.
Please, call 911.
You okay?
Just call.
Amy's bloody, her head resting on her daughter's stroller.
Amy? Just hang on. I'm getting an ambulance.
Later, Lenny and Eddie are walking with an officer.
Female victim Amy Lane took one to the neck. She was walking her baby with her friend Tracy Underwood. The friend says she heard a shot. Looked over, Amy was on the ground.
Any other witnesses?
Just a restaurant owner.
I got him.
Eddie walks to the restaurant owner as Lenny goes to the victim.
What do we got?
A sheet's pulled away from Amy's head.
Shot looks through and through. Where'd the slug wind up?
We can't find it. No shell casings either.
Any idea what kind of weapon?
Shot came from a distance, so with no slug or shell casing.
And where was the shooter?
If we knew which way she was facing before she got hit, maybe we could figure the angle of the shot.
I was leaning in my stroller. I didn't see what she was doing.
I was opening up my restaurant.
How about where the shot came from?
Over there, maybe?
What do you think?
I don't know.
You were opening up, weren't you?
I think it was from over there.
Has anyone called Amy's husband? What about the baby?
The officer will take care of the baby. How can we reach your husband?
He's a consultant with McMurtry and Company.
Okay, thanks.
Eddie goes to Lenny.
What'd you find out?
Could have been a stray bullet.
6 inches to the right, she'd still be here.
6 inches to the right, Lincoln would have seen the end of the play.
The New York City skyline is lit up at night. Police officers work the city streets. The word law moves in front of a squad car, and a man is led away in handcuffs. Detective Lenny Briscoe is wearing his tie loosened around his open shirt collar. Detective Eddie Green is at his desk, and Lieutenant Anita Van Buren is shown. The word order appears in front of a courthouse, and a U.S. flag waves. Scenes from a courtroom are shown. Executive Assistant DA Jack McCoy is leaning on his desk. Assistant DA Serena Sutherland is also at a desk, and DA Arthur Branch is in an office. Law and order. The detectives and the assistant DAs walk down a hallway together. A man with a baby is with Lenny and Eddie.
Can't believe this is happening. Amy just had an acupuncture's appointment.
He kisses the baby's head.
She was having back problems from lifting the baby.
Was her appointment in Chinatown?
On Mott Street? How could this have happened at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Mr. Lane, I know this is a difficult question at a time like this, but can you think of anybody who might have wanted to hurt your wife?
I thought this was some random thing.
Well, we're not certain of anything just yet. We have to ask.
Look, you're going down the wrong road.
How were things at home?
Everything was fine. Look, I know you have to ask these questions, but please. I wasn't cheating on my wife, and there isn't anyone who wanted to hurt her.
Detective Cordova enters.
The restaurant owner from this morning just showed up with his daughter. I put him in interrogation, too.
Lenny nods. In interrogation, the restaurant owner is staring out a window.
Mr. Chen?
My father has something to tell you. He knows something about the shooting that happened this morning.
Is that true, Mr. Chen?
He slowly turns around.
Sir, if you saw something, we could use your help.
What about my family? Who will help them?
If you talk to us, we can protect you. If you don't...
The Ghost Dragons. They were extorting my restaurant. Last week, I didn't have enough money. They said I would pay one way or another. Maybe they did this to warn me.
You did the right thing, Mr. Chen.
Namwa Tea Parlor, 1113 Doyer Street. Lenny holds up his badge as he and Eddie approach three men at a table.
Ah, you must be the Dai Lo. Out.
Two of the men leave, and Lenny sits next to the third.
So there was a shooting this morning on Catherine Street.
Really? Hadn't heard.
You know, that wouldn't make you much of a Dai Lo now, would it, if you didn't know what was going on in your own territory?
Territory? I don't know what you mean, brother.
That's where the people live who pay you protection money.
Yeah.
Where were you at 9 o'clock this morning?
9 o'clock. I was catching Z's, man.
Lenny, the Lou wants us to check on another shooting on Pell Street.
A man's lying face down on the pavement. Eddie's talking to a woman with very long hair.
I was standing in line behind him. He just collapsed.
Did you hear the shot?
I thought it was a car backfiring.
You know where it came from?
Definitely from over there.
Hey, get CSU across the street.
We checked, Detective. Nothing.
Well, check again. See anything after the shooting?
Everyone taking cover. Detectives! This looks like your slug. Could be a 243 or a 7mm.
Rifle?
Definitely a rifle.
Later, the detectives are with Lieutenant Van Buren at the precinct.
Same neighborhood, same general scenario. Shot from out of nowhere, victim goes down. One of them hit in the neck, one in the head.
They both can't be stray bullets. No witnesses?
Plenty of people see the victim go down. Nobody sees the shooter.
What about these ghost dragons?
We're putting them in lineups on the extortion, but the second shooting doesn't seem to have any relation to a restaurant.
What about some kind of hit? Is there any connection between the two victims?
He's an accountant. She's a mom.
Maybe he did her taxes.
Well, let's hope that's it.
Spelling and Guileman Company, 154 Canal Street.
I'm sorry. Amy Lane isn't anywhere in Mr. Spelling's book.
How about off the book?
What's that supposed to mean?
Could they have been seeing each other socially?
Absolutely not.
Look, Mrs. Barker, we're not interested in embarrassing Mr. Spelling or his family. We just want to find out who killed him.
Mr. Spelling was not having an affair. And frankly, I can't believe that you would come in here after what just happened and imply that he was.
Right now, every second counts. So I'm going to ask you again, are you sure? Because sometimes there are little signs, you know, you ignore them. You don't let yourself think about it.
I've worked with Larry for 20 years. You're with someone that long, you know every little thing about them.
Lenny answers his phone.
Briscoe. Yeah. Thanks.
Get these people back.
His name is Charlie Rodriguez, foreman for the power company. Slugs from a rifle.
Tell me someone saw something.
Lieutenant, this place is a mess. We just started
to
talk to people.
I want you to hunt down every single person who was here when this man was shot. I want to know where they were standing, what they heard, what they were doing.
Yes, ma'am.
What you got for us, Wes?
Trying to figure out where your shot came from. Here, hold this. He was DOA, so the medics didn't touch him, mess up the wound. Now, witnesses say he was facing the street, writing on a clipboard when he got hit. I already ran a probe into the wound, measured the angle. Now, based on that calculation...
Where was the bastard?
That roof.
He points across the street, on the roof.
Lou, we got gunshot residue over here.
A police dog is led away.
So the guy took his shot from here.
They look down at the crime scene.
Either it goes down the stairs or across a couple of rooftops.
Lieutenant? Forensics found this note taped to the wall on the other side of the roof.
Someone stopped the voices. Ballistics makes both slugs, 7mm rounds fired from a Remington 700.
Nobody sees a guy walking around with a rifle in broad daylight?
They make a model that breaks down like a pool cue. You can conceal it in your jacket or your shopping bag.
This guy took out each of his victims with a single shot. That means he knows what he's doing.
Any link between these people?
Just that they were shot within a 10-block radius. Other than that, it looks random.
Wonderful. I think it's time we shut down Lower Manhattan like we did when the towers went down.
If we do that, sir, we'll have panic on our hands.
And I at least want that area swarming with manpower.
All RDOs have been canceled. Everyone's pulling double tours.
The commissioner wants observation posts set up with views of the rooftops. Does the media know about the note?
My sources at the local news outlets say yes.
Okay, Lieutenant, you'll continue to run the team. For now. Let's get this son of a bitch.
On a rooftop, Eddie and Lenny are looking through binoculars.
Hey, Ed. I got something on the west side of Pell Street.
Eddie peers through a telescope, scanning rooftops.
Looks like a cable guy.
Better make sure. Get a car over to the corner of Pell and Watt.
Central, we got a possible suspect. Fire
8 million people in this city, one lunatic. How come I don't like these odds?
For once, I'm glad the house always wins.
Yeah, but given enough time.
Yep. How? How? Woman Chupan, Xie. Lady at 1:30 Mott says she hears somebody on her roof.
1:30?
Corner building, south of the green steeple.
With the binoculars and the telescope, they quickly scan the area.
Must be rats.
Yeah.
Eddie's on his cell phone.
Where?
A helicopter flies over another crime scene.
Do you have any ID?
Victim's name is Haley Sanders, 14. She just got out of school, one shot from across the street.
Anybody seen the shooter?
Three kids saw suspicious men leave different buildings.
These guys like a ghost. Blanket uptown, lose downtown for some fresh blood.
Lieutenant, we found this note on the roof of 432.
Me 4, police 0. At least he knows how to count.
I want a shrink to see this.
Later with Dr. Elizabeth Olivet.
There's something perplexing about these notes.
Maybe because they were written by a lunatic.
Actually, they weren't. At least one of them wasn't. Random killers tend to be one of a few distinct personalities. Someone stopped the voices, that's a schizophrenic.
But me 4, police 0 isn't.
That's a taunt.
Forensics says the paper and the printer that he used are identical, so it's got to be the same guy.
The notes are psychologically incongruous.
Maybe he forgot he was nuts when he wrote the second note.
Well, if he's not crazy, why would he want us to think he was?
To throw us off.
Random killers have no personal motive.
What if this guy did?
He could be trying to camouflage one killing with a bunch of others. Well, if that's true, he'd have to know where his real victim was going to be at a certain time and a certain place.
Look. Go back to the family, see if any of these victims had a routine.
Home of Anna Rodriguez, 316 West 176th Street.
Charlie didn't gamble. Maybe a beer to wash down some potato chips during a ball game. Paid the bills the same day they came. He was compulsive like that. I guess that's why he was good at his job.
How long was he with the power company?
23 years.
Had he worked at that site for a while?
For the last 3 months.
Is your husband having any problems we should know about, Mrs. Rodriguez?
What kind of problems?
Financial difficulties, trouble at work?
No. Wait a second. There's a guy that Charlie was always complaining about.
What, they didn't get along?
She shakes her head and picks up her dog.
This jerk had an attitude. Wouldn't hold up his end of the work. Always had to leave early for one reason or another.
Did your husband tell you this jerk's name?
Capshaw. I just called him Capshaw.
Thanks.
Lenny pets the dog. Later.
Herman ain't there. You know where he is?
Yeah, he's picking up his kid from school like always.
Sounds like you know him pretty well.
Sure, why not? He moved in the same week I started here. 10 years ago, next month. No problems, no complaints. He in trouble?
We'll let you know.
Can I help you?
You Herman Capshaw?
Yeah.
They're cops. Yeah, thanks. You can go now.
A teenaged boy's with Capshaw.
We need to ask you a couple of questions, Herman.
About what?
Charlie Rodriguez.
Why don't you go inside, Justin?
What's going on?
And close the door.
Okay.
Mind if we come in? You know, it's not a good time for me right now.
Oh, when is a good time? We'll come back.
We could meet for coffee. That'd work for me.
There ain't no need to be a smartass, Mr. Capshaw.
Give me your card. I'll call you tomorrow.
You know, we get that all the time. It always seems to slip people's minds.
Look, I can understand you don't want to do this with your boy around, so maybe you want to take a ride with us down at the precinct?
Am I under arrest, Detective? Because as far as I know, I don't have to go with you unless I'm under arrest. So, your card?
Eddie gives him a business card. Capshaw looks at it as he goes into his apartment. Eddie watches him intently. Back at the precinct.
Herman Capshaw, 39 years old, not even a parking ticket. According to the Marines, he was honorably discharged in 93. Served most of his tour in the Philippines.
So he knows his way around a rifle.
It gets better. He got the highest sharpshooting rating the Marines have to offer.
And you didn't pick him up because...
He's a stickler for the Bill of Rights.
To get a car on his residence.
We already did.
If Capshaw's our shooter, he must be keeping in game shape. All the local target ranges are too short for a rifle.
Hey, man, there's a target range like that out in Armagh.
At the range...
Herm Capshaw. Sure, I know him. He's not a member, but we're open to the public. I've seen him up here a few times.
You remember what he was shooting with?
Bolt action, high power with a scope.
Would a Remington 700 qualify?
Oh, absolutely. So,
Is this the guy in the city who...
Well, probably not, but we're working our way down the list.
So if it turns out to be him...
Don't worry, everything's legal up in here, right?
Right. You know, I didn't even think this guy lived in the city.
How come?
I heard him talk to some guy at the counter one day, bragging about a 12-point buck he took on some land he's got up in the Catskills.
The detectives look at each other later in the Catskills.
Police! We have a warrant!
The door is unlocked. Lenny and an officer go into a cabin. Outside, Eddie walks around logs where someone has been chopping wood. Lenny looks around and under the cabin. Eddie pulls a pocket knife from his pocket and pries a bullet from a large log that's standing on one end. The log is full of small holes. He looks at the bullet, then turns.
See? Check it, I'm no expert, but this looks just like the one they pulled from Haley Sanders.
Detective!
This was in a closet.
It's a rifle with a scope. Later outside Capshaw's apartment. Lenny and Eddie are wearing bulletproof vests. Justin opens the door.
Dad?
Over Capshaw? What do you think you're doing?
They're arresting you for the murder of Haley Sanders.
Who?
Amy Lane, Charlie Rodriguez, Larry Spelling.
In front of my son.
Where's your mother?
Dead.
You cannot leave him here alone.
Oh, don't worry. Child welfare will find a nice warm place for him.
Dad.
Don't worry. He'll be okay.
Well, why do you want to lie to the kid?
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say.
Packet 8472. People versus Herman Joseph Capshaw. Four counts of murder in the first degree.
One more person opens their mouth, they'll be removed from my courtroom. You may speak, counsel.
Sorry, Judge. Kyle Rowan, New York State Capitol Defenders for Mr. Capshaw. My client pleads not guilty.
Bail?
Your Honor, the people ask for remand. The defendant is charged with shooting four people as well as wreaking terror and fear on the entire city.
He's also innocent until proven guilty.
The murder weapon was found in Mr. Capshaw's cabin in the Catskills.
I know you said not to say anything, Your Honor, but may I speak?
Sit down.
That man killed my daughter.
The judge glances down.
This isn't the right time, ma'am.
I'm just asking that you not release him from jail. That's all.
He isn't going anywhere, ma'am.
Oh, Judge, I object. I haven't even made my bail application. You've already made up your mind.
You're right. Remand.
Later with Jack and Serena.
I had planned on asking you what it would take to get the death penalty off the table.
Only Mr. Capshaw won't play along?
He's got this one thing nagging at him. He says he's innocent.
I did not kill those people.
The evidence...
What? The rifle? The cabin was wide open all the time. Anyone could have stolen it.
To kill your boss?
Like I'm the only one who didn't get along with Rodriguez? Everyone at work knew I had a cabin upstate.
Jack raises his eyebrows.
Call us if anything changes.
Jack and Serena leave. Outside.
What other evidence do we have linking him to the shootings?
You don't actually believe him.
What scares me are those two little words that pay a defense attorney's rent.
Not guilty?
Reasonable doubt. What about the notes?
They were written on a computer, only Capshaw didn't have one in his apartment or cabin.
Two little words are getting louder and louder.
I'll talk to forensics.
In a lab.
So, I contacted the Secret Service. They have the largest investigative database of paper and ink in the world. Anyway, the notes were printed on an HP desk jet.
Great, I could have written them.
I doubt it.
I was joking.
I wasn't. Even your office spends more on paper. Now, this is not quite commercial grade. It came from a mill in Lawrence, Massachusetts that does not distribute to retailers. Their only local contract is with the New York City Public Schools. Now, either Capshaw is younger than he looks.
Or his son wrote the notes.
P.S. 362. Serena and a woman walk down a hallway.
He's in my third period math class and fifth period computer science. Always does his homework. Solid B-plus student.
What about friends?
I couldn't tell you. If he had any, I didn't notice. The kids team up for certain projects. Justin always worked alone.
The other kids didn't want to work with him?
Actually, I got the feeling he didn't want to work with them. Right here.
They go into a computer lab.
This is where Justin sits.
Do you mind?
Oh, help yourself.
Serena sits at the computer. She turns on the monitor and types something.
So, you really think Justin's dad was the sniper?
There's a good chance.
It just goes to show you can't ever tell about people. He seemed like one of the good ones. Never missed a parent-teacher conference. Very concerned about Justin's progress. It's all kind of depressing.
Thank you.
Serena takes a paper with her.
Jack! Forensics confirmed that the notes were written on the paper from Justin Capshaw's school. This is a copy of the first note. Look at the I in voices.
It's not dotted.
This is what I printed from Justin's computer at school.
No doubt here either.
Justin had to have written the notes.
Call Van Buren.
Later with Justin and his lawyer.
Come on. We both know what you're trying to do. Squeeze the kid to get to his old man. You should be ashamed of yourself.
My dad didn't kill anyone.
You see? Nothing to squeeze.
Actually, Justin, we know you helped your father kill those people.
Hold on. I'm still back on my client saying his dad didn't kill anyone.
Then why did your client write the notes we found at the scene?
Jack stares at the teen.
I can help you, Justin. If all you did was write those notes, we can cut a deal right here and now. You'd never have to see the inside of a prison cell.
My dad didn't shoot those people.
Did your father tell you to say that?
No. He didn't kill those people. I did.
Jack straightens as he frowns. Justin's lawyer rolls her eyes.
Jack, I think we better regroup later.
Ballistics Laboratory. One Police Plaza.
It's been through the lab twice. Two sets of prints on the rifle, Capshaw and his kid Justin.
Not what you wanted to hear.
I was hoping you just found the fathers.
There is one thing. Does either one of them wear glasses?
Why?
Because the last person to shoot this baby had less than perfect eyesight.
She looks through the scope.
How can you tell?
The focus adjustment on the scope. It's like binoculars. As you bring the image in closer, you need to refocus. If you wear glasses, you need to take them off and use the focus to make the image clear.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. Well, the focus adjustment here was set for someone with vision in the 2200 range.
Couldn't it have been moved by CSU?
Maybe a little, but not that much. And there's one other thing. The ocular lens, where you focus the crosshairs, it was also focused for someone who'd have to struggle to see the E on the eye chart. And for this, you'd need to loosen a ring, make the adjustment, and tighten the ring back up.
It's nighttime as Serena talks to Jack in his office.
I don't want to believe it either, but Justin's the only one that wears glasses.
Any history of violent behavior?
No.
Where's Capshaw's military record? Let's hope Herman Capshaw wears contact lenses.
He was a marksman, Jack. I'm sure he had pretty good vision.
Freshman in high school doesn't just get up one morning to decide to climb up on the roof and mow down people on the street.
He looks through a file.
Damn.
Perfect vision?
2010.
Maybe his father talked around the breakfast table about how he could kill Rodriguez and get away with it.
How old is Justin Capshaw?
15. Why?
Herman Capshaw was stationed in the Philippines with his wife and son from 1987 to 1993. Their only son was born there in 1988.
That would make him 15.
That same wife and son died in a car crash in the Philippines in 1993.
Later, Justin and his attorney are back.
You'll be happy to know I believe you, Justin.
Will you let my dad go now?
I'd be happy to do that if I knew where he was.
What are you trying to pull here, Jack? Herman Capshaw isn't Justin's father.
Liar.
Herman Capshaw's only child was named Herbert. He died in a car crash in 1993.
And what's that got to do with the price of pickles in Park Slope?
If I'm going to charge your client with 4 counts of murder, it would help to know his name.
He adopted me.
There's no record of that, Justin.
She's lying.
Okay. We'll just charge Herman Capshaw with interference with parental rights.
No! My whole family died when our house burnt down.
Your mom and dad.
And my sister. Ginny wasn't even supposed to be there. She was supposed to be in horseback riding class. Herman took me in. He took care of me. That's why I shot those people. Rodriguez was going to fire him. For once, I got to help him.
What's your real name, son?
Justin Capshaw.
He glares at Jack.
The Marines tell me that Capshaw has no brothers or sisters.
So he's not crazy Uncle Herman down in the big city?
Unfortunately, no. And the police are checking records of house fires with three victims. Justin's school records show that he entered kindergarten in 93.
Capshaw's super told Briscoe and Green that's when he moved into his apartment.
If only we knew where he lived before that.
We do. He bought the cabin in 86 before he shipped out.
Does it really make a difference what Justin's real name is?
It wouldn't if he'd tell us. Kid's hiding something. I want to know what.
Do you know how many little towns there are in the Catskills?
No, but I'd bet there aren't that many horseback riding schools.
Seneca Creek Stables, Edgewood, New York.
Look, lady, this is not the IRS. I don't keep records.
But you've been here 10 years?
17.
Is there any chance you remember a student of yours named Jenny who died in a fire?
I've never been very good with names, but something like that, I think I would remember. Why?
We have a boy down in the city who says he had a sister named Jenny who took riding lessons, but I'm sure he's lying anyway. Thanks.
She starts to walk away.
His name wouldn't be Justin, would it?
She returns.
Why?
About 10 years back, there was a Justin Lafferty. He went missing. He had a sister, Jenny. She rode here.
Is this family still around?
Oh, what's left of it, you know? Jake, he had one too many, and then he had a head-on with a beer truck going south on the thruway. It was maybe a year after this thing with Justin. Look, if you're planning on talking to Meg, I'd take it slow. I don't know that she's gotten over this yet.
Later.
So what does a New York City district attorney want with me?
I just have a few questions, Mrs. Lafferty.
This is about that Lloyd Garrison, isn't it? You know, I always thought...
Stop it, Mom. Just because he has long hair.
He's always going down to the city for no reason I can think of. His hair doesn't bother me. It's the tattoo.
And she expects me to believe she was at Woodstock.
Serena looks down and takes something from her briefcase.
This doesn't have anything to do with Lloyd Garrison.
She hands Mrs. Lafferty a photo of Justin. She stares at it. Then covers her mouth. Jenny stands and takes a closer look.
It's Justin.
She puts her arms around her mom, then rests her head on her mom's head. Later, Mrs. Lafferty and Jenny are with Jack.
10 years. We thought he was...
I can't imagine what you've been through, Mrs. Lafferty.
Is he...
Physically, he's fine.
How could he be fine? Some pervert kept him locked up for 10 years.
There's no evidence he was abused.
Then why? What did he want Justin for?
Mrs. Lafferty quickly straightens her hair. Justin walks in with his head lowered. Mrs. Lafferty and Jenny stare at him.
Oh, my God. Justin.
She reaches out for him, but he pulls back. He points at her.
Who is this?
It's us, Justin. Jenny and Mom.
Where's my dad?
Dad died, Justin.
What is she talking about?
Your real father.
Herman Capshaw is my real father. I don't know these people.
Justin,
I don't know why he brought me here. Can I go now?
He hurries out of the room. Mrs. Lafferty puts her hands to her forehead as she trembles.
I want the bastard who did that to my son dead.
Jack lowers his gaze uncomfortably. Later with D.A. Arthur Branch.
10 years. I used to sweat when Bobby went off to summer camp for 6 weeks.
I don't know what's worse, thinking your kid is dead or finding him alive but not recognizing you.
Take it from a parent. Prefer them alive no matter what.
Capshaw's attorney called again. He wants to deal on the kidnapping.
What are you going to do?
Let him sweat for a while. How am I going to prosecute this kid, Arthur?
You're going to remember the people lying dead on the street. That's how.
Jack takes a deep breath. A woman delivers a paper.
Thank you.
Serena reads it.
Notice of Parkman's intent to assert an affirmative defense, not guilty by reason of mental defect.
There's a shock.
Crossroads Juvenile Center. Justin's with Dr. Olivet.
Why would you think I'm crazy?
I didn't say I did.
Well, you're a shrink, aren't you?
Your attorney thinks you may not be responsible for killing those people.
Because I'm nuts?
Tell me about Herman Capshaw.
He's the best.
Tell me how.
She sits at a table.
Okay. Well, there was this one time back in third grade. These kids were picking on me. He took care of it.
He hit them?
Come on, we were in third grade. He went right to their parents and told them to make their kids cut it out.
And they did?
You better believe it. Dad was always there like that for me.
He's not your dad, Justin.
Why not? He took care of me, he fed me, he bought whatever I needed.
Justin, he took you away from your real parents.
They're dead. Dad loves me, and I love him.
Justin, what do you do when you're not in school?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. Do you play ball with your friends?
With my dad.
Do you go on dates?
Dad says school's more important.
What about friends?
Dad's all the friends I need. He does for me and I do for him.
Justin clenches his jaw.
Did he ask you to kill those people?
How many times do I have to say it? Mr. Rodriguez was going to fire him.
So you killed him?
That's right.
What about the other people?
I tried to throw the police off track. I feel bad about what I did, but I had to do it.
Why?
He's my dad, and he needed my help.
Later, she's with Serena and Jack.
Since Capshaw was discharged from the Marines, he's isolated himself. He's become what we call an anomic personality. A man alone in a big city.
Only we're dealing with the boy here.
Capshaw kept Justin just as isolated. He sheltered him from everything.
And that's bad?
When it extinguishes all other human contact, it is.
Did he abuse Justin?
Emotionally, yes. He induced trauma by telling him his real family was dead. The trauma, combined with the isolation, created a relationship of total dependence. Herman Capshaw eases Justin's pain.
And Justin whacks 4 innocent people.
To ease Capshaw's pain. It's a form of battered child syndrome.
Are you recommending we stick him in a hospital?
I would, if he didn't kill anybody. But when he pulled the trigger, he knew what he was doing was wrong, and he chose to do it anyway.
Jack raises his eyebrows and nods. Supreme Court, Mr. Capshaw's on the stand.
I've raised Justin like he was my own son since he was 5 years old.
But he's not your son?
No.
Let's put our cards on the table, Mr. Capshaw. You were indicted by the district attorney's office for kidnapping Justin. Isn't that correct?
Yes, but it's not like that. I was a good father to him.
Did you agree to plead guilty to kidnapping? And as a part of that plea agreement, did you agree to testify here today?
Yes.
Did you know a Mr. Charles Rodriguez?
Yes, he was my boss.
And he was about to fire you, is that correct?
Yes.
Did you discuss this with Justin?
Yes, but he would never...
Yes or no, sir?
Yes.
Jack returns to his seat.
Did you ever mention to Justin that you liked the Beatles?
Sure.
What did he do?
He bought me the box set.
You never asked him for it?
I never asked him for anything.
That's nice. What did you do when Justin got a C in chemistry?
I told him he'd never get into a good college with C's.
What did he do?
He studied his butt off and got an A.
And that made you happy?
Sure.
He'd do anything to make you happy. Isn't that correct?
What's going on here? I was a good father. Justin does well in school. He's not on drugs or in a gang. He's a good kid because of me.
And he owed you big time for that.
Justin doesn't owe me anything. I love him.
You do anything for him?
That's right.
And he'd do anything for you?
Yes.
Nothing further.
Soon after, the jury listens as Dr. Olivet speaks from the witness stand.
Justin may have been abused, but abuse in and of itself doesn't negate intent as defined in the penal code. The abuse in Justin's case may have affected his personality, but it certainly didn't cause any mental defect that would have prevented him from knowing right from wrong.
Abused? Did Mr. Capshaw hit the defendant?
No, but emotional abuse can be sufficient to cause battered child syndrome.
Battered child syndrome, is that the equivalent of battered wife syndrome, Doctor?
Yes.
Isn't it true that battered wife syndrome is often a valid defense to a charge of murder?
Of course, but in those cases, the wife kills the person who's doing the battering. Justin killed people with whom he had no personal contact.
With his arms crossed, Jack looks at the jury, then goes to his seat.
Would you say that Justin was dependent on Herman Capshaw?
He felt he was.
More so than in the normal father-son relationship?
Because of their total isolation from the rest of society, I'd have to say yes.
So if something or someone threatened the well-being of Mr. Capshaw, how would that affect Justin?
It would feel like a direct threat to him as well.
And he'd feel compelled to protect himself?
I couldn't say.
If I pointed a gun at you, Dr. Olivet, wouldn't you try to shoot me before I shot you?
I suppose.
Of course you would.
Justin's lawyer glances at the jury. Later, a bald man in a suit is testifying.
If you tell anyone that his family is dead, that he'll never see them again, it certainly causes trauma.
And if that someone is a 5-year-old child, Dr. Diamond, how would he be affected?
It would be devastating. He would attach himself emotionally to the next caring person he came into contact with.
And that's why Justin became totally dependent on Mr. Capshaw?
The boy had no choice but to land in a symbiotic relationship with Mr. Capshaw.
You said he had no choice, Doctor.
That is correct. He would do whatever it takes to protect that relationship.
Even kill?
Yes.
She nods, then goes to her seat as Jack stands.
You're saying the defendant had no choice in the shooting of Mr. Rodriguez. Is that correct?
Yes.
What about the other people?
I don't know what you mean.
He killed 3 other innocent people. People who were no threat to him or to Mr. Capshaw. How do you explain that?
In his mind, it was necessary to protect.
Please. He chose to try to get away with his crime. Isn't that so?
Dr. Diamond swallows hard. That night, Jack is leaning on his desk near his window.
Hey, are you okay?
Some days I really don't enjoy my job. I mean, my old man was the worst son of a bitch you could possibly meet. But if some nut had grabbed me up, I can't say what kind of person I would have become. What's this?
Crime scene photos. Haley Sanders, Amy Lane, Larry Spelling, Charlie Rodriguez.
No, I don't. Well, then, miss, I'm sorry. I need to see him. I need to talk to him.
Miss, please, I can't let you in.
I just need to talk to him.
It's okay, Fred.
Jenny walks toward Jack.
How can you do this to us?
Your brother killed 4 people.
He was a good kid. A happy kid. He wouldn't have done this if that lunatic hadn't taken him from us. This whole thing, it turned my father into a drunk. It wasn't an accident, Mr. McCoy. He killed himself. My mother has been walking around half dead for 10 years. Hasn't my family suffered enough?
It's not my call, Jane.
You bastard. That freak took him from us. Now you're doing it all over again.
She cries as she quickly leaves. Jack scowls and watches her. Supreme Court. Justin is on the stand.
You can't get me to say anything bad about Dad.
I wouldn't think of it. The man gave you everything.
That's right.
You are what you are today because of him.
He didn't make me shoot those people, if that's what you're getting at.
But he did teach you to shoot.
He was rated an expert marksman in the Marines. We went hunting together.
What did Mr. Capshaw tell you about Charlie Rodriguez?
He said he was a jerk. He was always picking on Dad. But Dad couldn't do anything because Charlie was the boss.
Was Dad worried about losing his job?
He said they went over budget on the site. Somebody had to go. He knew Charlie would pick him.
And then what would happen?
We'd end up without money or food or a place to live.
And that's why you shot Charlie Rodriguez?
Dad worked hard his whole life. This jerk was going to ruin him.
And you couldn't let that happen.
I love him. He loves me.
Thank you.
Mrs. Lafferty and Jenny are in the courtroom. Jack stands.
Tell me about Amy Lane.
Who?
She's the first person you killed.
I didn't know her.
Nice lady. She had a daughter. Just 8 months old. How about Larry Spelling?
We get counsel's point, Your Honor. The defense is willing to stipulate the defendant shot three people at random.
Move on, Mr. McCoy.
What's the worst thing that could have happened if Charlie Rodriguez had fired Mr. Capshaw?
We could end up homeless. The government could come and take me away.
And that scared you?
Yes.
So you didn't shoot Charlie Rodriguez to help Mr. Capshaw. You did it for yourself. Your attorney has been arguing that you shot these people out of some compulsion to protect Mr. Capshaw. But the truth is, you were only thinking about yourself. Isn't that so?
No.
He points at Jack as he fights his tears.
Dad would come and get me. We're a family. Not like them.
He points to Mrs. Lafferty and Jenny. They both start to cry.
He loves me. He would come and get me.
Mrs. Lafferty has her hand over her mouth. Jenny glances at her mother, then lowers her head. Justin shifts uncomfortably and pushes his glasses up on his nose. Later.
Have you reached a verdict?
We have.
How do you find?
We find the defendant, Justin Lafferty, not guilty by reason of mental defect.
Jack frowns. Justin's lawyer speaks to him for a moment. He turns and Mrs. Lafferty leans toward him. He turns away suddenly, then is led away by a court officer. As Mrs. Lafferty looks around, Jenny slowly sinks into her seat. Soon after, Jack and Serena are with Arthur.
The jury basically blamed Capshaw for the murders. He did put the proverbial loaded rifle in Justin's hand and cock the hammer.
You don't actually think the jury did the right thing.
Why not? The kid's as much a victim as...
Please don't say the four dead people.
Thank you. On my watch, someone points a rifle at a crowd and pulls the trigger. At a minimum, gets to spend the rest of his life in gray pajamas. Not being coddled by a phalanx of white coats trying to fix the poor misguided soul.
I never thought of a state mental institution as a place to be coddled.
It ain't Attica.
It's always a chance Justin can be rehabilitated, Arthur.
Four dead? I don't think he's earned that chance. And I also think my senior prosecutor should agree with it.
I do.
Arthur leaves.
But?
I'm a father.
Jack and Serena walk out.